Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Saving Sex and the City 3. I'm Lara, and with me today to hopefully save Sex and the City 3 and get people on board to finally make this movie is the one and only Ryan Bailey, host of So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast. Hi.
Oh, my. Hello. This is incredible. This is a huge honor. And I mean, during quarantine, especially, this is just, my mind has just been going so many different places with these ladies.
Yeah, there's so much, there's a world of opportunity, and I think it changes with every passing month. There's more ways to incorporate, just like, life gives us more experiences so that we can project those experiences potentially onto the characters of Sex and the City and somehow save Sex and the City 3.
And you're dealing with iconic characters that I believe get iconic year after year. But I spent the last 2 days watching the first two movies, and I'd seen them before. And I remember seeing the second one in the movie theaters. And however, like, it just hit me in such a bad way that I loathed it. I loathed the second movie, but then I watched it in quarantine the other day, and I kind of liked it. I was like, "Oh, Samantha's putting hummus on her face. That's hysterical." You know?
Yeah, it's a two watcher. Some films are, you got to watch it and circle back, and then you really see it for what it is. Once you've eliminated your expectations and just allow it to be, I find a lot of movies are like that.
Well, I think it's also me as, like, you know, when I saw it as a young woman earlier in life, mm-hmm. to now me, you know, but like, it really, I think you bring your own life experience to movies. And I guess where I'm at emotionally, this Sex and the City 2 really hit me this time, you know?
It's escapist. It's fantasy. It's almost like a fever dream. It's as though everyone went to sleep and we're just seeing what happened in their minds. Like, I don't think of it as like grounded in any sort of reality or universe.
The Liza Minnelli single lady scene, I forgot all about it. Like, oh, the single lady. Like, and she was like doing, I was like, I kept getting scared she was going to throw a hip out. And like, yes. I knew already that she doesn't. Like, I had erased that scene entirely from my memory. Like, I didn't even so it surprised me again. And then I was like, oh my God, is this like, can you buy this on iTunes? Like, Liza Minnelli doing single ladies?
Can you? That's a good question. Is there a Sex and the City 3 or Sex and the City 2 official soundtrack?
I think there is, but then that was like so much pressure too, because then I was trying to think of like, who is the icon that comes out for Sex and the City 3 in some kind of musical performance that is also like commenting on today's society? You know, like, what mashup artist could you pick that would actually really mean something? Because the Liza Minnelli thing, I was watching in bed, like, no one is around, and my mouth was just open. Like, it was a gape. I was aghast.
Yeah. I'm forever haunted by her little legs in that scene. Like, it seems as though you were afraid she might break a hip. I was like, her leg is going to snap in half.
Well, I also, for a second, I was like, is this CGI? Is this like, it's
Snapchat face replacement.
It's like, you know, you could just see it kind of blurring along the edges. But it was, I've always appreciated this about Sex and the City, but the movies especially, they really try to give everybody their due. I mean, but they'll rush certain scenes. Like in this last one, Miranda's just like, I want it all. I want to be a parent, but I also love work. You know, like they really try to throw a bone to everybody, but sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah. And it was rumored that part of the Sex and the City 3 movie script involved, like, I guess the rumors were that Big was going to die unexpectedly. And then
Samantha, about to happen again today.
Yeah, so then Samantha was going to try and fuck Brady. For those of you that can't see, Ryan just did a literal spit take.
are you kidding me?
Is that not like the craziest thing you've ever heard?
Are you kidding me?
I'm not joking.
It's almost like making like Samantha like a pedophile or something like that. You know, like that's like
crossing a lot of lines, or maybe she sexts him, not fucks him. I think, because I don't even think he's of age, unless somehow he is. He could be. How long has it even been? I don't know. But there was some sort of like sexting or sexual thing between, or flirtation between Samantha and Brady.
Well, I mean, for that character, I mean, you gotta, like, for as sexed up as she is, where do you really go with her? And especially in today's society, too, because you would, like, with the Me Too era and, like, all of this stuff is, like, how does that then affect Samantha? And what, you know, because I was trying to, like, where do you realistically go with some of these characters? And, like, she speaks in, like, talking head phrases. Like, Samantha was, like, speaking in Vanderpump Rules talking head statements before that even existed.
Yeah, she would slay on Twitter.
Oh my God, could you imagine? Mm-hmm. Like she was just always, and that's why when you rewatch it back, you're just like, it's really, those lines are, I mean, it's just, I just, if you were really around her, would you always be going like, womp womp, you know, like, or would you really love everything she was saying?
I think I would love it. I think I would be laughing a lot. She would be a fun hang.
Could you be friends with her for like year after year after year? Or would she be a fun hang for like one time?
I think once you got her like one-on-one, she could get really real with you. Like she'd give you good advice. She has a successful business. She's like wealthy and like a self-made woman. So I think that she draws you in with her one-liners, but then she really like lays it down and gets real when you cross that intimacy threshold into true friendship.
Who are you out of these girls?
I think I like radiate energy from all of them at this point. Nice. Like I can find a little bit that is incorporated. I definitely came of age like wanting nothing more than to be a Carrie. And then now I reflect on that and I'm just like, Lara, what is wrong with you? Like the worst. But I think probably like I relate most to like Carrie and Samantha and Miranda. But then I can have like a little Charlotte in there every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, each one has a fascinating journey over the years. I mean, I love Charlotte's whole plotline in the second one was just her husband potentially sleeping with the nanny and a bratty child.
Yeah, feeling really jealous of a hot nanny.
Yes. And the reason was that we saw the father and the nanny give a co-bath together and water splashed, and we saw the hot nanny's nipples.
And whole thing is the hot nanny doesn't wear a bra.
Yeah, like the hot nanny, like, wouldn't, if you had a hot nanny, would you be like, hey, totally awesome and like you're beautiful, but you should wear a bra around the girls, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Or like even because there is also one point where Charlotte doesn't believe like anything's going on. But then she reads a magazine on an airplane. Yeah. And then she's convinced.
On the way to Abu Dhabi. And by the way, the last scene when they literally almost create an international crisis because they're at like a spice market. And like literally, I'm like, if that shit was real, like they would be like stoned to death. Like they, there was not, like not just like them like taking back like their womanhood. Like they would be stoned. Like I mean, I mean it was just,
yeah.
I mean, not to go dark too quickly.
No, but, I mean it. That's reality. That's the world we're living in.
I really wish that Liza Minnelli kept popping up and like in Abu Dhabi. She was there. Like oh,
she should have been in first class with them. Hey, girls. With a glass of champagne.
Remember when she was married to that dude David Guest?
I'll never forget. I think I was just talking about him recently with Carrie. We went down like a David Guest like K-hole and just like remembering
his forehead was like up, like he had so much plastic surgery, like they inserted his hairline and like there was that one picture of him, her and Michael Jackson and Liz Taylor, I think. Mm-hmm. It was like the fabulous foursome, you know, like, but it was just, and he was always wearing sunglasses and you couldn't really know his age, but like, and then they were like always kissing in public to show like performatively that they were like into each other.
It was so weird. Like at what point as a woman do you get to a David Guest level? Are you just like, okay, well, I might as well, like, I can talk to this person and they make me laugh, so I'm just gonna be with them now.
No, I feel what it is that it was all due like to like celebrity, and he was like, Liza, you know, I don't know his real voice, but he was like, Liza, let me talk to you. I can make you a star again. You know, you are the early aughts. Stick with me, you know, like, and like, I think he said he could reinvent her. And I think he's probably the one that got her in Sex and the City too.
Was he her manager?
Yeah, like that. He was.
Oh, okay, all right. I didn't know that.
Of the whole Liza spirit, you know.
Okay, I didn't realize he was her manager. I just thought he was some rando.
You just thought he was a well.
I thought he was a rando gay that she found and was like, "I love this guy."
Well, now Liz Taylor met Larry Fortensky in one of her AA places.
Okay.
Her, she was in for alcoholism. She, like, I believe Larry Fortensky, one of her husbands, was just like a contractor. And so they got out of like AA and like she married. And that was like a weird one because he was just like a normal dude.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't last.
Yeah. I mean, does love ever really last?
No. The answer is no. We all know the answer to that. Yeah. Okay. So let's get into, I'm really excited to hear your pitch and see where this journey will take us. So I'm going to hand it over to you and you tell me, for those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, the whole gist is my guest, I give them one job, and that's just to come with a log line for each of the girls. And they don't have to like interweave it all. And our job as writers, creators, are to make these storylines into the Sex and the City 3 movie. So.
Okay, so I'm just giving you a log line for each character.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me know if I'm going too far here. Okay. So
no, you can go however far you need to go is however far it is.
So here's, and I do have to preface this with, we are going to blend genres and we do have to suspend disbelief.
Great.
And we can totally throw it away if we don't like this. Okay. So Carrie, Mr. Big does die. Okay. Mm-hmm. He has, we find out in the first scene of the movie, he has rectal cancer. And there, first scene of the movie, and there is, he finds out, or Carrie finds out from Samantha, an experimental procedure in South America where they will go and it's kind of like they'll give you a mechanical asshole. Mm-hmm. And there is like a whole surgery like involving this, and it ends up happening. And then they swim in the ocean together and they have this really beautiful scene, you know, but it turns out he gets an infection from that ocean dive and like dies. And this is in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
And so then she refuses at that point, going back to New York. New York no longer has anything that for her at all. She wears black for most of the entire movie and she refuses to ever write in her voice again. So she goes to LA and she's only a ghostwriter from this point on for other people's books. On top of, she has sold the rights to her previous book, and there is a movie in production with an actual Big and all of her girlfriends.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Lots of layers.
Is that too much?
No, I love it. No.
Okay. I've thought way too much about this. Okay. Now this is where it could get really, you might not want to do this. And I totally understand, but this is just, I was trying to think of blend ways where I could really, so Samantha, of course, was in PR, but she's nearing 65 years old and it's a huge birthday. She now lives full time in LA and she is somebody that is witty, somebody that does speak in talking heads. And she is the perfect person to do a reality show. So she is offered her own reality show and it is called because she started to become friendly with restaurateurs and things like that. And she ends up buying Motherlode, which is a couple doors down from Tom Tom.
Yes.
And there's a reality show called Mother of the Motherlode. And it's Samantha. And she's, okay, this is where we suspend disbelief. She's in direct competition with Lisa Vanderpump. Lisa Vanderpump is a character, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She has poached. And so starting in the movie, this is already like, we've already launched into this. Like she's full production. She's poached Tom Sandoval from Tom Tom and Tom Tom is now just Tom as a bar, not Tom Tom. So Sandoval potentially is the guy that she's poached. I have a lot of other plot lines for Samantha in terms of like interacting with Vanderpump, but we'll get there. Okay. So I've thought way too much about this. Okay.
No, it's good. It's great. Okay. I have you chills.
I'm very nervous for this. Okay. So then Charlotte, this is where it gets also weird, is that Charlotte over the years has become an anti-vaxxer and it's just something that, and so she has convinced Harry to move to Brentwood and she just, you know, there's a community of ladies that believe the same things that she believed. But unfortunately it's taken a dark turn with Charlotte where she now is like really into conspiracy theories and QAnon. And like, it's just really, and she's just like, you know, throughout the movie, like she's just wearing more camouflage and like earth tones. And it's like not the Charlotte we know. And like Harry sees it. She's just in a different place, you know?
Yeah. It starts like as a goop fascination and then really spirals into something unmanageable.
Exactly. You know, it's like just really, it's a very dark turn and it's very sad. And then Miranda. So Miranda is like, she does have it all, but who doesn't have it all is Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Miranda, I have one ball. I'm Steve. No, he goes like, so good she Steve. Like, yeah, it's Miranda, please come on, make love to me, please. And, so the whole deal with him is that like, so Samantha knows they're always on the rocks. So Samantha also throws a bone of like, hey, you used to be in the bar industry. I'll pay you to come out for a month and help with Motherlode with Tom Sandoval potentially. And so here's the deal. And it works out perfectly though, because Miranda also was the key head counsel on the Harvey Weinstein trial in New York. So she now comes to LA to now focus on the Harvey Weinstein LA and to offer their prosecution everything she has knowledge wise about Harvey Weinstein. So I don't know if we're allowed to interject like real world stuff, but
we're allowed to do. There are no rules.
Okay. So
rules, only possibilities.
So, but it all ends with, I mean, what I'm picturing is that this all leads up to Samantha's 65th birthday and potentially, you know, Carrie like going like, you know, Big had a mechanical asshole and now all I have is a mechanical heart, you know, like, can she ever love again? Mm-hmm. So like that's the, so okay. That's like each character.
I'm obsessed. So we got to go. I love also the great migration to Los Angeles. It's where these ladies all need to be anyways. Let's be honest.
Yeah. New York is just doom and gloom for a lot of these ladies and they need sunshine and they need just a new start. For Carrie especially.
Yeah. Okay. So we start out with like, I think, obviously, like the overhead, like beautiful drone shot of New York City, like the Big Apple, the city of where everything happens, the city that never sleeps. And it's like the do, 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 do. And I think that maybe we start with Big's funeral. And so it's like, like it, like really soft, like organ music. Yes. and things get a little dark. And
well, also, yeah, and it, like, actually, it's rain. Like, yeah, you see rain actually happening. It goes from sun to, like, music slows, the rain starts.
Thunder.
To the funeral. Yeah, umbrellas. To the funeral.
And I feel, well, like
overhead Carrie, black umbrellas.
Yes, and I think Carrie, too, in that opening could be, have, like, a voiceover that's, like, New York, the city that had been great to me, like, a city I loved and that always loved me back. And then she's like, I had a career. Like, she has to recap a little bit because it's been years since one of these movies came out. So we need to, like, yeah, refresh everyone's memory of, like, where she's been in case you forgot. And she's like, the city I started out as a writer and wrote my column and wrote a series of books, but I never thought the one thing I'd be writing was a eulogy for the love of my life. Yes. And then we kind of come down on the black umbrellas and we see people, like, filing into the church, and then Carrie getting up to speak. And then I think during Carrie's eulogy for Big, where she's obviously dressed in, like, a fantastic, like, Valentino couture, like, funeral gown.
Yeah.
And it's, like, an open casket, so we can, like, see dead Big, because I think that that would be, like, important for the,
yeah, and the he audience. Wants it as Chris Noth, the actor, he wants to have his face shown a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he wrote it into his contract. Like, that was, yeah, the whole point, to get him involved, yes, in the movie. So I think Carrie then can, like, during her eulogy, we can have flashbacks to, like,
oh, yes,
really key moments in their, in Big and Carrie's relationship. And, like, we can incorporate footage from the shows, but then we can also do, like, how they did in Sex and the City 2, flashbacks of them when they were in the 80s or whatever. So they have, like, actual Chris Noth and SJP as the age they are now, but, like, CGI'd and dressed up as, like, two young lovers.
Oh, so, like, in The Irishman, when they made them really young and they, yes, used, like, technology that was, like, really eerie.
We're getting the Irishman technology.
Oh, and my God.
It here.
And oh, my God. It's amazing.
Yeah. We can even, like, go further back and, like, flashback to, like, Carrie as a teen, but is just SJP with Irishman technology, like, writing in her journal.
Yeah.
And being like, will, like, I ever find love? I had to wonder. And then
and she's looking out her parents' window instead of the window she looked at her apartment. You know, just, exactly, like, a series of windows, you know?
Yeah.
Do we see in the audience at the funeral, did potentially, like, Aiden and all of those people show up to support? Do we see past loves at the funeral as well? And just, like, audience flashback, like, audience, like,
Aiden for sure would be there, because remember, he and Big made up in that, like, yeah, one episode. So, like, he's cool and he knows how much it meant to Carrie. And he, now that he's, like, had kids and stuff. Oh, but would he show up? Maybe he shows up to start drama. He's standing in the back. Like, so we go, Carrie's, we're seeing this whole montage, and then I think, yeah, we get up to the point, like, as she's describing Big's rectal cancer journey, then, yeah, we get to see, like, a brief, like, doctor appointment, and then, like, then we see, like, the life-saving, and we thought, like, the life-saving surgery would be, yeah, something that would save his life, and for a while there was hope, but, like, all, yeah, things, hope fades. And, like, she gives this beautiful eulogy. We get caught up on Big's entire journey and then leading up to his untimely demise. And then it's very sad. We see all these, like, kind of former lovers. All the girls are obviously in the audience.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe the camera pans to the back and Aiden is, like, lurking in the back. Because, oh, now, wow, he's, like, a dark, now he, I forgot about his drama in the second movie. He kissed Carrie and then
he was at the spice market. Yeah.
No. And so I,
but then is he still a tall drink of water?
He's tall. I think maybe has, like, a little bit of a gut and he let his hair grow out long again. So it's like,
but did they do the sexy, do they do the, you know how, like, whenever they show one of the guys of, like, the music does change a little bit too, where it'll be like, dun, dun, dun. Like, is it, like, is it a little fading in of, like, some of, like, a possibility, or do we just acknowledge that he's there?
I imagine that it, the inference with the music is that he's a dark spirit. I think ever, okay, since he made, okay, out with Carrie at the spice market, his life has gone completely off the rails. Like, he has lost his furniture business. His marriage fell apart. He doesn't speak to his kids. And he's, like, really, like, he is now obsessed with Carrie and believes that this is their moment. Like, Big's death has opened, like, a moment. So we just,
like, is he, like, doing, like, key bumps at the funeral and stuff? Like, is he, is there like a drug and drinking or just obsession?
He could be a drug addict.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm into, true. Yeah. Like, he's kind of smells like someone is like, and like moves away from him. Like, he,
there's a couple flies hovering, like, yes. Just CGI flies. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Carrie, like, it's the only thing that's like snapped Carrie out of her funk is like, oh my God. Like, you know, she smells him before she sees him almost, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And I think he's like lurking there. And then we cut to like the after party or whatever happens after a funeral where.
Wait, can Liza Minnelli be at the after party and like singing like a dirge, like an Irish, yeah. You know, like Danny Boy, you know, or something like something. Like, is there like a song with the word big in it? Or like, big. I'm just thinking of Peter Gabriel, big time.
I know, that's where my head went to, like, big time too. And then that now all I can think about is Liza's like cabaret song. It's like, maybe this time it's gonna happen. And maybe she sings that. And it's actually a really beautiful moment that makes up for the single ladies. Moment, yeah. In the Sex and the City do, it's actually like a beautiful performance.
Yeah, and at this point, there's no like dance and stuff like that. Like, nobody's forcing Liza to dance. It's like just a straight up song. It's like a tape song. Yeah,
yeah. She's sitting maybe on a stool and like,
yeah,
she's just singing, and it really is like she's singing right to Carrie's soul, and everyone's really sad, and it's like, and you get, I think, caught up with the girls at this like. Carrie's obviously like, people are coming up to her being like, I'm so sorry for your loss and like whatever. And Samantha comes up to her and she's like, here's a Cosmo for you. Like, take the edge off. And then she's like, I have some Quaaludes if you want one. It really helped me. Like, she's offering Carrie like pharmaceutical help.
And does she say like, you know, and I got to imagine that Samantha has dealt with many of her ex-lovers dying among like over the years. So you know, she's like, don't worry, girlfriend, it gets easier with, you know, each one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably pretty insensitive.
Well, I think she can have, like, kind of an offhand moment like that, and then Charlotte could be like, Samantha, he was the love of her life! And then Miranda's like, it is hard, but you're strong, and, like, we believe in you. Like, let us know if you need anything. And then you kind of see the crowd part, and then Aiden comes shuffling in, and, like, it's really a dark moment. Like, I think we need to set up the fact that like New York is not going to be the same because Big is dead, and that has taken away a lot of the magic of the city for Carrie. But also Aiden is like going to be like a problem. Like, he's now like stalking her, and is like a reminder of like, it's just like gross, and the energy is gross. So he represents like New York's gross energy.
So do we see, I mean, is there a kind of a dialogue of like, we know that this isn't the first time he's tried to see her throughout all of this, of like, I need you to stop showing up at places where I'm at, you know,
oh
like,
my God, yeah,
you know,
I
like
love
it's just
that.
Becoming too much. Like, please, you know, like, I know, you know, you had your issues with Big, but this is his day and I don't need to see you right now, you know, and but like, maybe he actually in just some like weird defiance is like completely dressed in like colors. Like, not, like, everybody's in black, and he's, like, in, like, some weird, colorful outfit, like Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat or something. It's just, like, weird. It's, like, why would you even think to wear that, you know?
Yeah, he's wearing, like, a drug rug, and, like, maybe he even has, like, white guy dreadlocks. Like, things have really gone south.
Oh, my God. So he's, like, an Adam Duritz, Counting Crows kind
he's
of.
He's a little bit like Adam Duritz. Yeah, he's, like, very, like, hippie, like, boho. It's all so wrong. And maybe even like one of the girls can be like, oh my God, don't look now. Like Aiden is back. And so we know that he's like done this before. And like, maybe he makes a total scene at the funeral after party.
Yeah.
Like, he's like kind of drunk. And he's like, I thought this would be it, Carrie. Like, we're supposed to be together. And she's just horrified.
And maybe he's saying, like, maybe it is an impassioned speech about love. Like, I've lost love, too. I've lost love, too. Not just you, you know, not just you. Everyone here, you know, like, I used to love this one, you know?
Yeah. He's like, now you know how it feels. And she's just like, oh my God, like, it's so painful. And also, like, this is a chic event. Like, it's a chic fucking funeral.
We see in the audience, like Anna Wintour is there, and like, we're like, New York socialites are like, oh my God.
Anna Wintour literally looks over and puts her sunglasses down to look at Aiden and puts them back on. We have a Anna Wintour cameo first 20 minutes of the movie. Yes.
Yes.
And all of the fashion crowd is just like horrified. And then I think even like somehow, I think we have to get like Samantha's like, security. And then two beefy like security guys have to like drag Aiden out. And somehow paparazzi manages to catch, like, as the door opens and they're throwing Aiden out onto the street, paparazzi like catches Carrie's horrified face being like, and then she's on the cover of the Post with like a really insensitive, shitty headline.
Yeah.
The next day.
Oh, like the death it's of like, a New York, the death like, of a,
she couldn't help but wonder what was he doing there? Like, what was,
and you see, like, it's like, and then the photo you see in the back, like the deep background, Carson Kressley, you know, like they're just like,
he's like, And so Big's funeral suddenly turns into like a big, like, kind of like a gossip fest and like this salacious event, and it feels really disrespectful to Carrie's grieving process. And then it also, I think, could become like, because she's written books about like all these people, so some journalists like Perez Hilton like looks into like who was this like homeless guy at Carrie's like ex-husband's funeral, and then digs into it, and then they find out that it's like a guy from the book, and then it starts to become like this viral gossip thing and like a punchline to jokes, and it just like there's memes about it, and like it just goes out of control.
Perfect. Yeah, you had me at memes. That's amazing. Yeah. Is there GIFs? Yeah.
I'm like, what about memes in the pitch meeting? Yes.
So today, yes, yes. Are there Snapchats?
Carrie's obviously horrified. And I think like the next day, all the women are having like an emergency summit at her and Big's place. And
would it be back at Carrie's old apartment, because she can't even step foot because she kept the apartment?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it would definitely be at her old apartment. And then she's also renovated her apartment again to look how it did when she used to live there, because that actually was cuter than like the renovation it went through in the first movie. And so maybe this like a couple weeks pass or like a month passes in between the funeral and now, and we get a chance to like catch up on the other girls' lives. And so Carrie, like, we see Samantha's like we cut, like, everyone leaves, obviously, like Samantha and Charlotte fly back to LA.
Yeah.
And we see like Samantha in filming scenes of her reality show, Mother of the Motherload.
Yeah. Or like even her, like, you know, maybe like filming her talking heads in front of the bar. Mm-hmm. You know, like you see, like, you know, we obviously know what a talking head looks like at this point, but it's in front of the bar at Motherload. And
she's in season two, and like she gets a call, I think maybe before she starts to film, or maybe like while she's doing her talking head, and she gets a call, and it's like a Bravo executive, and they're like, the ratings are in, like, you're above and beyond expectations. Like, this is the best show. All the reviews are so good. The fans are fucking dying. Like, Samantha Jones, you are the mother of my motherload.
Yes, yes.
She's like, honey, if I had a nickel for every gay that said that to me. And so then, like, we just know that Samantha's on top, and actually, like, it was the show that like breathed new life into Bravo. Like, it is the new Vanderpump Rules, but it's all like gay guys and their drama working at the motherload.
Yeah, totally. Like, and I think that's yeah, it's every, and it's, yeah, it's everything Vanderpump Rules should be, is like, it's new stories, new drama. She is the perfect lead of all of this. So she's exactly where she needs to be.
Yeah. And she does, like, and even like where Lisa like injects herself into people's drama and is like encouraging, Samantha's always just like has like a funny one liner. And she really like, she doesn't, it's not like, she's not like pulling the same kind of shenanigans that Lisa does.
No, like you know, the action comes to her. She doesn't need to like, she, you know, it naturally happens, you know, like she does not need to force herself on plot lines. Plot lines come to her. And yeah, there's not scenes where people are just explaining to Samantha what's happening, you know, like, well, he doesn't like him and he, you know, like she knows what's going on. She's actively in.
And even if they try to, she's like, honey, do I look like I care? And then she's, yeah, like it's really.
And the audiences are like, fuck, it's so refreshing. Oh my God, that's amazing. Like, it's just, it's so good, you know? And she's like, I'll be over there talking to that, you know, tall and handsome guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. She's like, if you're going to slap him next time, do it on camera. Like, she's like truly condones all behavior. Like, it's whatever to her.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. And so then we get like, she gets that call. She's on fucking top and like, she's doing her talking head moment. Oh my God. So she's filming her like talking head in the restaurant. It's daytime. And you hear like a screech, like tires screeching. And she kind of looks off and a fucking car drives into the motherlode, like crashes through the windows and like, truly like runs over Samantha.
I think fully
runs into motherlode and runs over Samantha, and then Samantha's in the hospital.
She's not dead
but she's like very injured, and like
was driving the car. Did the driver of the car get away?
I don't know. Well, did they, did they, the driver of the car ran? A Ferrari. So,
but they say there was a tall, beefy man with like longish hair and like kind of a Zorro goatee. Like, and they saw like him like running away.
Literally wearing a Zorro mask, like a Zorro costume for unexplained reasons.
Zorro outfit, kind of. And he just ran. And like, the thing was, is like, he's not even that fast of a runner. Everybody was so shocked that he was just like, just kind of like, you know, he's like a bigger guy. He's like a thick guy.
Yeah. And so we see then like, obviously like there, someone's like, call an ambulance. Like, oh my God. And then as that's happening, we see Charlotte, and Charlotte's in her like Brentwood mansion. And maybe Charlotte has started like her own kind of like YouTube presence where she like cooks or something like that. And she's like, today we're like going to make, she's like, I'm doing my daily like wheatgrass shot, like, and is kind of like grinding her wheatgrass and stuff. And then she gets a call that Samantha's in the hospital. So that Samantha's like being taken to Cedars.
So we get to see her natural, like she has one of the best concerned faces on the show. Like when she gets something out, like she's just really good at like listening and like that concerned face she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's like, she's really like, oh, and then just leaves everything and then goes to go be with Samantha.
Okay.
And then that would be a good way also to get, like, then Carrie gets called, or Miranda gets called, and we see that she's just like wrapped up the Harvey Weinstein case. Like they're having like their big boardroom meeting at her big fancy law firm.
And they're, we like, did it. We did it.
Yeah. They're all like high-fiving and like debriefing after like the case. And then Miranda gets the call that Samantha is in the hospital as well.
Can we get first though a call from Steve of like, I'm so proud of you, honey. I'm so proud of you. We missed you so much. You did such good things for the women out there, you know? And then it was like, oh, sorry, baby, there's a call on the other line. And that's when she finds out.
Yeah, totally. So maybe like we have the boardroom meeting and we see that Miranda is like on top of her law firm. She's like head of the law firm, essentially. Then she goes to her office and there's flowers, even like a big flower arrangement. And her assistant's like, I have Steve on line one. And then he's like, I love you, baby.
You know what would be cool, though, is in that scene when everybody's celebrating the boardroom, maybe it's a flashback to that scene from the second movie where her boss was in that chair. And, like, remember when she interrupted and he was like, mm-hmm. you know.
Like, gave her the hand.
Yeah, maybe something like that happens, but she lets the lady speak or something. You know, just so we see what a kind boss and sharing boss she is on top of this victory, then goes back to the office and gets the call.
I love it. But yeah, she's gracious.
Do your Steve again? Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. I can't do it now.
Hey, baby. Me and Brady are so proud of you. Yeah.
So good. And then we see that, like, Brady, like, their relationship is in a really good place. And, like, he loves her and, like, life is good for Miranda. But just when you think you have it all, you get the horrible phone call that Lisa Vanderpump has had someone drive a car into your best friend's restaurant.
Well, do we know it's Lisa Vanderpump or not is that?
Yet. No.
Okay. But, that's okay. Because, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, that is something that I think would happen to all of us. Knows. Yeah. The audience.
Yeah. The audience knows. Yeah.
And so Miranda's like, oh my God. And then she calls it, like, no one can get a hold of Carrie. Maybe Charlotte says, like, I've been trying Carrie. Like, I can't get a hold of her. Like, when was the last time you talked to her? And then, yeah. And so Miranda actually, like, hasn't talked to her in a while. Like, they've texted and stuff, but haven't really, like, talked.
Yeah.
So Miranda then, I think, goes looking for Carrie. And then she goes first to Biggs, their apartment.
Yeah.
And then she has, like, an extra, like, an emergency key or whatever to get in there. And she just sees that it's, like, no one's been in there for weeks. Like, there's just, like, food in the, there's, like, wine glasses. Like, it's just a wreck.
Wait. This might be too much and, like, throwing up. But would Aiden actually be in the apartment? Like, what are you doing here? You know, he's like, you know, he thought, like, he was like, Carrie. And he's like,
it's almost
here,
like
Aiden,
a
you know?
Horror.
Like,
it's like a horror movie.
Exactly.
Miranda, like, it just goes in and she's like peering around and there are just like clothes strewn everywhere, like wine glasses, liquor bottles. And she's just like, oh my God, like Carrie, I've never seen Carrie in this bad of a place. Yeah. And like the TV in the bedroom, the TV is like broken, like as though someone threw like a fucking like bookend at it. And like she's like creeping around and even the closet is like in a state of just utter disarray and she's like, oh my God. And then we hear a toilet flush and she's like
and she makes once again she makes a face like something smells.
She's like, Carrie, I'm here. And then then Aiden walks out and he's like, you don't want to go in there, Red.
Hey, do you have hey Red, do you have a match? Yeah.
And Miranda screams. And I think maybe like she knows like a lot of self-defense moves at this point. And so she does like a full like taekwondo, like self-defense move, like cuts him off at the throat and disables him, drops him to the ground.
And it's one of those moments when in the audience, like people are clapping like, whoa, like it's a huge moment because she says something funny directly after it, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out or something, you know?
Yeah. She ties him up in a bath mat. And remember, like, that one episode where he had to come get her when she threw her back out on the ground and she was naked? Yeah, so that's, like, what she does with him. It's like, the tables have turned, bitch. And, like, and, like, has, like, one foot on him. And then she's like, where's Carrie? And he's like,
I'm not going to ask again, you know? And she's just, like, her heels digging into his hand, you know?
Yeah, like, a heel on his hand and then one, like, right at his throat, like, right there. And she's like, tell me where she is. And he's like, I don't know. She's never been back here. I've been waiting and waiting. And then Miranda like calls the cops and like reports like a break-in. And then in that moment, also Miranda knows where Carrie is.
Where is she?
She's at her apartment.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. I was like, whoa, wait, oh my God, where is she?
Exactly. That's what we want the audience to think. Exactly. You're right there with me.
Okay, perfect.
So then we see like the cops come and they take Aiden away. He does like his perp walk or whatever to like the a waiting police vehicle, and then Miranda streaks over to Carrie's first apartment to like find her. And Carrie's like laying in bed and truly giving off like Sex and the City 1 movie Mexico vibes of depression. And Miranda has to like softly like pet her awake and like spoon feed her some yogurt to like get her back up and running.
Like, is there any kind of like, you know, is there any play in the fact that like maybe she's even made a blanket fort out of her old dresses just to hide under on the bed? You know, she's just like covered herself in all of her old clothes.
She's nesting.
Yeah, it's something that she's just, you can tell she's been there for a while. Like, just her body just doesn't want to get up. She can, just one of those where you can keep sleeping and keep sleeping.
Yeah, all the blinds are drawn, and maybe there's even like shoes. Like, she's arranged all her shoes around the bed, so it's like impossible to get out of bed because then you're gonna have to step through all these shoes. So she's like, has like a moat of shoes.
Please don't say there's like a piss jug or something like that. It's okay, good.
I mean, there could be. It's dark. No, I like where you're going with that. Honestly, I see it. But that could be a laughable moment where Miranda's like, "What is that?" And then Carrie's like, "What do you think?" And then Miranda's like, "Oh my God,
girl, you have to drink some water." Also, I think once she sees Miranda there, she knows something drastic has happened. Something is horribly wrong.
Yeah, and maybe Miranda is like, "What? Like, what? I know that you're really sad, but like, have you been here this whole time?" And Carrie's like, "It's the only place that I feel safe. Like, the world isn't safe. Like, Big's gone. Barney's is closed forever.
Like, I'm not tethered to this earth anymore. You know?
Yeah. Like, New York has nothing for me." And then she's like, "And why would I go back?" Like, she's like, "Aiden was in my apartment." And then Miranda's like, "Why, you just let him stay there?" And she's like, "What else am I going to do?" Like, she's like, "I told him I'd be right back." And then just came here.
Aiden was claiming squatter's rights at a certain point.
Yeah. And like, and so then I think Miranda like softly breaks the news to her, like, of everything that's happened with Samantha. And she's like, she's like, "I'm going to pack you up. Like, Aiden's in jail now. Like, he's..."
Did she become a drill sergeant a little bit of like, "Here's what we're doing and we're doing this now," you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Carrie...
"Go shower, I'm packing."
Keeps trying to like go back into her nest, and then Miranda just like rips the blankets off and she's like, "Carrie, get up.
Yes.
Get in the shower. I'm packing your bags." And then Carrie's like, "Ooh, I kind of like it when you're bossy." Yeah.
Well, I feel like this is just really exciting for like Miranda's having a couple great scenes back to back. And I think that's because the last movie, she just didn't have these kind of powerful scenes. And I think this is really, she takes charge. And that's why we love her, because she's the friend that understands but will not let you slide back on your shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she gets it. And so then we cut to like, it's like an airplane shot and then like landing at LAX.
Now, do we hear do we hear like maybe a slowed down version of like Miley Cyrus's like Party in the USA or something like that?
Yeah, we could. Like, even like, you know, like
what's an LA kind of bass song? You know, if you're like New York, New York, but like if you're in LA, what is there, like a Beach Boys song? Like, "Wouldn't It Be Nice" plays under it, like a slowed down.
"Wouldn't It Be Nice"? Yeah, that, like, and Beach Boys is like semi mournful. It's like both happy and sad. Yeah, so I like that for this scene.
Okay,
maybe we even get like, you know, Beyonce to sing a cover of "Wouldn't It Be Nice."
That's huge for the soundtrack, so that's great. Yeah
Or like Lizzo or someone like that can really like bring an unexpected twist to the song.
well, would it be crazy if you got Beyonce and Lizzo to do it? And like, yeah. that's a powerhouse. That's like
Beyonce,
a
Lady and Gaga. Dua Lipa. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Now that's something I would actually, that's like a, what was that song? The Moulin Rouge, we're all for like.
Yeah. With Christina Aguilera, and Maya, Pink. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. By the way, if this comes out in the summer, like it's important to have that for like that tentpole movie where the soundtrack's just as good as the plot line. You need like these kind of like mashups.
The fire ass soundtrack. Yeah. And I think summertime, like post COVID, people are really going to be wanting like a song of summer, and this could be it.
Well, that's the thing. Even though it's like, it is sad and wistful, like once you hit LA, you do see like, there is shots of like people in bikinis and things like that, you know, like I do think that is important to show the clear sky, you know, it could be just like still sad, but like there is a very different, like just in the filming, it's just really different. It's like in Boogie Nights when like before, like they discovered he had a huge dong, it was like kind of dark. And then once like he went to Burt Reynolds' house, like all mm-hmm. that, like it became bright and shiny. I kind of want that feel.
Totally. Yeah. And New York, I feel like it's really important to establish New York as like dreary, grimy, sad. Like it's always raining there. There's like always like puddles getting splashed on you. Like it's no longer the city we know and love. So yeah.
People are in face masks everywhere. Mm-hmm.
People like, in face masks. And even we ask all the background extras to frown a lot, like whenever they're in a scene. So it's like really sets the tone that like New York is a dark vibe.
Yeah, that's so perfect, because when you get to LA, it's like everybody is like chatting with each other in scenes, or, you know, just laughing, but not obnoxiously, but just really seems like enjoying life.
Yeah. And like, and it is like so sunny as the plane lands, and like, and I think we can even have like a voiceover from Carrie in this moment that's like speaks just to, like, I didn't expect for, like, the darkness to lift, but it was almost like a light switch went off or something like that. Like, or the light was.
Yeah, it's like something
off.
Like, you know, it's crazy how simple a bright light can, simple just by, like, shining a light on something can change your whole attitude mm-hmm. or something. As the plane flies over Runyon Canyon and you see hikers.
Yeah. And it's like just beautiful aerial shots of LA, and like it's like setting the tone. It's like sexy and sunny and like fun. And then I think they go, we could have them like check in. We need them to check in, obviously, to like a really glamorous hotel. Like they could go to Chateau Mar. Oh, they go to Sunset Tower, obviously. Yeah. Like forget it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Miranda and Carrie like both check into Sunset Tower and then hightail it to Cedars to check in on Samantha, who has like her own suite. And she, it turns out like she's a little banged up. Like we also have a hot doctor that's like.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I feel like she is banged up. But like even as they're walking in, you hear her going like, what's under those scrubs, doctor? You know, like you hear her say something like, or like maybe a mumbled sexual innuendo, or like coming out of a fog,
mm-hmm. you
know? But something very like sexy or dirty, you know? And like Miranda says something like, I wouldn't let Harvey Weinstein say something like that. You know, like maybe there's like, you know, like something kind of common of like, that's, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, Samantha's like freely sexually harassing people wherever she goes, but it's just like, okay, because she's Samantha. Yes. It's the open secret about Samantha Jones is that that's just how she is. But like, and maybe Samantha is like on like taking FaceTime meetings, and she has her assistant like sitting in the hospital with her. Who plays her assistant?
Oh, I mean, like which actor plays her assistant?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think this is actually like, this is like a coveted role, and it's something, you know, it's like one of those things where like Lindsay and Tara think they're like, Tara Reid think they're up for it, but they're not even in consideration at all. Mm-mm. But they're like, oh my God, you know, like, who would it be? Oh, you know who it is? It's, oh, this is perfect. It's the girl from Midsommar and Little Women.
Florence Pugh. Yeah.
Florence Pugh. This is her like chance to do like a, this is like, she doesn't want to do a Marvel movie, a superhero movie, but this is like a successful franchise, you know, and this is something that'll like, this is her Devil Wears Prada possibly, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe she's like a little bit dowdy. Like, it's like, she, it doesn't add up. Like, what is this girl who, like, even Miranda can be like, sorry, can we just, you don't need to be here. Like, you can go collect the trash. Like, she's dressed like a janitor or something. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yes. She's frumpy.
She's really frumpy, and it like doesn't make sense. But Samantha's like, oh no, that's my assistant, Edie. And then, and then like no one gets it. And then she's like, just let her sit there. She loves writing in her little notebook or something like that. Like, we're like, is Edie like on the spectrum or not? Like, who knows? She's like just a weird vibe, but she's
well,
like,
and also she's like one of those girls that you like, it's like a never been kissed girl. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just like, there's just no, you can't get a read on her. It's like a, it's almost like an Ally Sheedy in The Breakfast Club. Where, you know, like before the makeover that what's her name gives her in the movie.
Yeah.
She's just like, she's just that girl that has dandruff in her hair, you know?
Mm-hmm. She's like a weirdo. So then, yeah. And then we have like a great like B storyline for like Edie, like gets hot by the end of the movie.
Totally. Yeah. There's like a, they're even, I don't know if it's there. I mean, everybody loves a makeover montage,
yeah.
You know?
We'll definitely have a makeover montage. She's going to either like, she's going to like discover her sexuality. Like, lots of things are going to happen with Edie. But right now, Edie's giving off like real janitor vibes.
Yeah. She's giving off smelly Aiden vibes at this point.
Yeah. Like, Carrie's like a little bit thrown. Maybe yeah, she like, even looks like Aiden and Carrie, like at first, and Carrie's like, what? And then they're like, no, that's Edie.
She sees Edie's little pot belly at first. And she's like, oh, Jesus.
So then all the girls, like all the girls have gathered and they're like, like hanging. And Samantha's banged up, but she does have a broken leg. So the leg is in traction. And like, she has like a little bit of like bruising and on her face and stuff, but,
yeah, but there's no like amputation or anything like there's not going to be any like crash sex scenes like that David Cronenberg movie where they were like rubbing their nubs on each other and that was like sexual, you know.
No, she's like, this has actually been great because she's like, I did want a nose job, so that was a perfect opportunity to get
or she's like, honey, I'm used to laying on my back, you know.
Yeah, like, so this is a comfortable position for me. I'm right at home, aren't I, Edie? And then Edie's like,
yeah. She's like nervous at any kind of sexual innuendo, which is so weird. And like, Samantha then like always doubles up with Edie because she's like trying to push her past her point of comfortability, you know, like, we gotta get Edie past like being so awkward with her body and sex, you know.
And I think also even this is a moment where Miranda's like, Samantha, this is 2021. You can't talk to your assistant like that. And Samantha's like, oh, it's fine. She signed a contract saying I could say whatever I want.
Oh, yeah. Or she looks at Edie. She's like,
it's okay. And like, or something weird.
She's like, Edie, is it weird when I say pussy asshole areola? And Edie's like, ah. Yeah.
She's like, no, I like it.
I signed up for the job.
So then we find out that like the detectives are on the case, like everyone's reviewing like security camera footage. Like, Samantha shows us like CCTV footage of like the.
But don't you think Samantha knows? But don't you think Samantha knows immediately who did it?
Yeah, she's like, I know what bitch did this to me.
Yeah,
that unlawful cunt, Lisa Vanderpump.
And then, she thinks she owns West Hollywood. Well, guess what? I'm the there's new owner.
Yeah, there's a new bitch in town.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's sniffing around my area. Well, I'm about to sniff around hers.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, maybe even Miranda provides some sort of legal advice, or she's like, I know a great private investigator. Like, maybe Miranda's like, you absolutely need to, like, press charges. And Samantha's like, honey, that's not how I roll. Like, the only
she's thing like, I'll get her another way.
Yeah, she's like, the only thing I'm pressing is a vibrator against my clit.
And then Edie goes, you just hear Edie go,
and Samantha's like, ignore her. And then she's like, I'm here to play dirty. And And then Miranda's like, okay, have a private, if that's the route you want to go, I didn't hear that, but I have a private investigator that I'll hook you up with that can look into this, like, Vanderpump person. Miranda doesn't know who Lisa Vanderpump is.
Yeah, maybe like they even keep calling her by the wrong name. Like, maybe that's like a recurring joke of, like, you know, Lisa
Lisa Vanderbilt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like they never call her by her, like, correct name.
Mm-hmm. And so all the girls are there. They agree. So then, where do we go from there?
Well, is there any kind of acknowledgement of, like, wow, it seems like lately the only times we get together are in times of tragedy, you know? Is there anything, like, where, I mean, does Carrie ghostwrite somebody's book in LA? Does she sell the rights to, is there a movie being made? Is there something to get Carrie back on the road to recovery and to find love again, or to fall back in love with herself? Her first love.
Yeah, I think we need, I mean, we could cut to like a few weeks or a month later, and maybe Carrie has just like stayed in LA because it's easy to do, and she and Samantha needed a roommate or whatever. Like, Samantha's like,
Samantha's got to have one of the most beautiful houses at this point, because we need that kind of glamour. Like, we need a glamorous house.
We need house porn. So Charlotte is giving us like Brentwood Manor, like really Gwyneth Goop, like beauty house with like,
and she's friends with like Rita Wilson pops in as a cameo or something like that. Kate Capshaw.
Yeah. And then Samantha is like a whole different kind of like house porn, but it's also just like gorgeous. Like, we get whoever Nancy Myers gets to like dress her sets, and that's who's doing like set decoration of this movie, and it's really just like aspirational home ownership. And so so Samantha eventually is like, Carrie, like, why don't you just move in with me? You can have a whole suite. I have like a whole, she has like a guest house that's also just like a huge house on her property.
You have your own entrance and exit. And then she makes some kind of like anal joke with that.
Oh, maybe Samantha lives in like Mount Olympus, like in the Hollywood Hills. Cause that feels like
that would be key of like, up towards Mulholland or something.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think Samantha's also has to go through physical therapy. So there's like a hot physical therapist that she's like fucking, who's helping her like get rehab her leg.
But is that the thing though? Is that the lat? Like, is that like, it all leads up to her fucking for the first time? Like, that's the one thing like she's not been able to do until the very end of the movie is fuck again.
Yeah. Maybe the doctor says like, absolutely no. Like, we go, okay. So then weeks go by, we do like a bit of a montage or whatever of Carrie just like living in LA and like starting to write emails again. And then like,
there's slowly like a little joke in an email and she like smiles and then deletes it.
Yeah, and like kind of loving LA life, and then it's time for Samantha to go back home, and as Samantha's getting wheeled out of the hospital, the doctor is like, now remember like the three cardinal rules of recovery, like not too much wine or whatever, blah blah blah, and absolutely no sex or sexual activity until like the leg is healed. Cause I think,
and she's like, doctor, why don't you just kill me now then, doctor, you know?
Yeah. Like, there's something with the leg injury that also goes into like a hip and back. Like, it's all kind of connected and has to heal. Maybe she had to get like a metal rod put in her leg.
Which she then jokes about like, ooh, I'm a like robotic sex, the wave of the future.
Bionic woman. Yeah. And so that can be Samantha's like another kind of subplot for Samantha is like, when will she have sex again? And she can even ask the doctor. He's like, you know, some people successfully like achieve like intercourse and when like in 1 to 2 years. And then she's just like, 1 to 2 years, I'll be dead.
Honey, please. Yeah.
Yeah. And she has to have a walker. So I think also Samantha's coming to terms with like, wow, I am like, she's coming to terms with her own mortality. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, she's having to like do this walk around, her 65th birthday is coming up. Like, she feels like an old bitch.
Just put me out of my misery. Take me out to pasture, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Should I go live on a farm somewhere?
Yeah. And I think at first, like, so then maybe Samantha's like kind of depressed. And so she invites Carrie to move in with her. And she's like, you can have full run of the guest house. Like, it's literally a huge house on my property. Like, it's great. And it's like an inspiring place to be.
Yeah. Well, no, is there anything where is there any play in like Carrie eventually being convinced to get on Raya or something? Or like, do we even touch her dating? Like, I mean, or does she actually just meet somebody special or something? Is there a therapist? Is there?
Yeah, I think I think we'll find like a, oh, you know what could happen is what about, okay, so maybe Carrie decides, maybe Carrie said she was going to stay in LA for like 3 weeks. And then when the 3 weeks was up, she just found herself like not wanting to go back to New York. And Samantha's like, you shouldn't go back. She's like, Miranda's here for however long, like Steve and Brady. We maybe see like Steve and Brady decide, like Miranda rents a house in LA as well. That's like a totally different decor just to get more house porn.
Yeah. But it's more like Hobbit, like Taylor Swift's house from the documentary. Yeah. Where it's kind of Hobbit like. It's just different.
Yeah. And so, and Steve and Brady, like we see them coming to LA, and maybe even Brady is going to UCLA. So he's starting like his first semester at UCLA, and Steve moves out to like support and be with Miranda while they're like, while she's doing the trial for however long. And then,
yeah, we just see like a scene of her, like him rubbing her back at the end of the day, or like, you know, just like that, like he's being a supportive husband, you know?
Yeah. Like pouring a glass of wine for her as they like sit out by the pool at sunset or something.
Yeah.
And Samantha's like, you shouldn't go back. I mean, all the girls are here. What is New York for you? Like a fucking psycho long-haired Aiden waiting? Like, no, thank you. So she's like, just have all your stuff shipped over here. Move into my guest house and like you can figure it out. Like give yourself like 6 months to a year to just like figure it out. So Carrie like has all her stuff like transported into Samantha's guest house.
Okay, great. No,
and is also there any- and I think with the movie that she sold, like the movie that's being developed, like they maybe we can have in kind of the beginning like lay the lines for like even in her eulogy when she's like, and I was like developing a movie, so we were out in LA sometimes, and like then we know that like this is something that she's been involved with, and like when she's in her depression, like the movie execs can't get in touch with her, and like so this is a good opportunity for her to be like consulting on the movie version of her life.
What if she falls in love with the movie version of Big?
That's where I was going to get to.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. Yeah. Anyway, that's like, also, you're right there with me. Yeah.
Is there something with Edie where Edie gets a phone call from like a, just like some like kind of like random voice, like, hey, you know, like we're like asking like, you know, hey, where's Carrie Bradshaw living? You know, something like that. And like, she's like, she's living with my boss, Samantha, or something. And then it's like, click, and you, that's Aiden.
Yeah. And we have like a like, showdown by the end.
I mean, eventually, like, I just picture it. And I don't, I mean, I picture it eventually, like, with him, like, on Big Little Lies, when they, like, he, like, you know, he just, all the women kill Aiden together, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Or like, he falls off a cliff, or they're like, and just is like splayed out and like broke his neck.
Mm hmm. I love it. So. It's genius. So then Carrie's living at Samantha's, and it's fun. Like we see Carrie, like all when all her stuff gets shipped and like moved into this like beautiful closet and her big bedroom, like overlooking, like maybe Samantha even has like a vineyard on her property or something, like a little mini vineyard. Like it's like very just like scenic and amazing. and we get all the women situated. I think we need to like tend to Charlotte a little bit now.
Yeah. See, I mean, but also we do, but at the same time, I do feel like there's always one lady that gets the short end of the stick in these movies, you know, like it's, but okay. So if she's filming videos, if Charlotte's filming videos, and I mean, my thing was like her getting more into the anti-vax QAnon thing, but that might be too insane for this.
Well, maybe that's also how like Aiden, maybe instead of calling Edie, he somehow befriends Charlotte in like QAnon forums. Like we find out that he's been like kind of catfishing her and like messaging her on these forums. Oh, and then they're sharing facts about their life. And she's just like, my friends don't understand me. Like my friend cares. Like, and he's like gets information out of her that way.
And she's always like telling like in that way of like, did you know 5G? Like 5G caused like, you know, and she's always saying this stuff to Harry and he's just brushing her off.
Yeah.
But like what she's saying, but she's saying it so concerned. Like, I can't believe this is happening. Look, the news isn't even covering this.
And even at like in the hospital with Samantha, like in the saline, like Charlotte's pointing to things and she's like, you know, saline drips, like sometimes you don't ever know what's really in there. Like kind of weird. Like you're like,
yeah, it's like, I won't let them microchip me when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, microchip, like, what are you talking about? Exactly. Samantha's like, go sprout some beans. Don't you have some almonds to soak?
Yeah, I'll take some quinoa with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Charlotte's like, we see her like shopping at the farmer's market. And maybe she's also having like a little bit of empty nest syndrome. Like Lily, I think by now is like grown and maybe like.
Well, and maybe the second girl like is at boarding school.
Yeah. Maybe they're both like at boarding school. And now Charlotte's bored with nothing to do. So she's gotten into like, you know, holistic medicinal smoothie making and like has a YouTube following.
Yeah. Like in one scene, she's like in one of those Aztec green mud masks, you know, so you see her eyes like open and she's reading facts, you know?
Yeah. And maybe like she gets sucked in by Aiden catfishing her to get to Carrie. So at first, like it starts as like an innocent comment on one of her videos. It's like, I love to put like spirulina in my smoothies. Like I find that it really puts a pep in my step. And then she's like interacting and like engaging with her fans and then really gets to know this like one woman, like Teresa or something like that, that's like, always commenting on her stuff. And then Teresa is like, she's like, my friend just went to the hospital and I brought her some like healing sunflower seed nut butter. And then Teresa's like, well, you better hope that your friend wasn't exposed to like this vaccine or whatever, like, and kind of sucks Charlotte in.
Yeah. Oh, I hope it wasn't Cedars Sinai. They're the worst, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? What happens at Cedars?
It was Cedars. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then all four characters have something kind of, but then do you get Carrie on like immediately on a movie set and she's like back to work or she's seeing like a vision of her life played out?
Yeah, I think Carrie is then. Yeah, it's like her first day going on set and watching, like she has to go to like the Paramount lot and like she's on like the New York streets of the Paramount lot and she sees all these
maybe she's watching an iconic scene from one of the actual TV episodes, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we see like who's playing Carrie.
Who's like a young Meryl Streepish? I mean, who's.
Oh, the young Meryl Streep is where you go with a young Carrie Bradshaw. Hi, Brad. I love it.
You gotta have that kind of range. I'm trying to think in terms of Hollywood actors. Let's see here. This would be coveted in some way. But it's also gotta be kind of a wink Like, do we laugh at who's playing her? Is it like a funny thing, or is it like, oh, ooh, that's a good actor, you know?
Well, I think like Charlize Theron is playing Samantha. That's all I know for sure.
Okay, that's great. So Hollywood, ooh, what about ScarJo?
Yeah, ScarJo is playing Carrie.
Or you could do, I mean, well, if Charlize, oh, what about Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence is good. She's played Carrie before in Saving Sex in the City 3. She's always a good go-to for Carrie Bradshaw. I was even
thinking Emma Stone would be a good Charlotte.
Emma Stone would be a great Charlotte, and we could even go, even though she's younger than like Carrie Bradshaw, is like we could go with like Zoe Kravitz or someone unexpected.
Oh, wow. Would Miranda, would it be, I mean, would you do, I'm trying to think of like, what would be like kind of weird casting for Miranda and kind of just be like really potentially shitty?
Who would be a really wild Miranda?
Like who's the, oh shit, who's, who did this? Oh, who's like in the female Ghostbusters?
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon, but I was thinking more of what's her name? She's a huge comedic actress.
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones would be great. I was actually no, the other one. It was
Kristen Wiig.
No, the other one. The she's in Spy. And she's like super funny. She was a Groundlings. Oh, Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy. Okay, yeah. We'll have Melissa McCarthy play Miranda.
Yeah. Like she's the only one of the girls that doesn't really look like the girl, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like really off casting.
It's a really wild move, but it like people are into it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like she's killing it.
Yeah. And so then Carrie is like, Carrie's on the streets of New York, but it's kind of healing. And I think even in a voiceover, she can be like, I was so nervous. Like maybe we see her before she's being like picked up to go to set. And like, she comes into like the kitchen at Samantha's to like say goodbye. And we see like Samantha's there with like her hot physical therapist who's like helping her like work on her leg. And Carrie's like, I'm so scared. Like, I don't know if I really want to do this. Like, I'm freaked out. And she's like, oh, honey, you got to go. And like, we'll see how it goes. And then if you don't like it, and then what?
Wait, what if she's on set and like, she kind of eerily, it's like, you know, those things in the movie where like the character thinks they see the person and like, she keeps thinking she sees Big. Mm-hmm. Like she, but it's like, but then it'll be like, oh, that's a plant. Or, you know, like, or it's just like, you know, it's just a, you know, a driver or something, you know, but she keeps seeing him. But eventually, I think it eventually leads up to her having a scene with Dead Big.
Yeah.
Like let me go scene, you know,
okay.
But like she keeps seeing him around the set and she at the end, he goes, you know, like, hey, babe, it's time for you to live your life. You know, like he has to
like
give her permission.
Spiritual kind of from the afterlife. Like a ghost.
Like a force ghost. Like, and she keeps seeing him around set, but then it turns out to just be like, she's like, ah, oh, I'm going crazy or something, you know?
Yeah. Who plays movie Big?
Would it be like James Franco? Would it be?
Yeah. Let's have James Franco. I like a James Franco. We haven't seen him in a while. Post Me Too. I'm ready for a Franco, Frankasance.
He's waited it out. So he's like,
he's
ready.
Waited it out. Let's forgive him and put him in the movie.
And like he gives that James Franco smile and she melts, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I'm turned on by the thought of SJP and Franco, like having like a makeout moment.
I can totally see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can really see it too.
I think that's like really perfect casting, you know?
Yeah. And I think also I'm going to go back to like the Carrie Bradshaw and I really want it to be Zoe Kravitz. Cause I want like Zoe and James. I think that they would be a good Carrie and Big.
That's crazy. And we also get to potentially see how James Franco stays in character in between takes.
Mm-hmm. Like, he is Big.
And kind of freaks out Zoe Kravitz a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that doesn't freak out
is... He's a weirdo.
Yeah, the only one that it doesn't freak out is Carrie because she just misses Big.
Yeah, I love it.
Is there anything in like the conversation she has with Big where she's saying all the things she's always wanted to say? And, you know, like if he's loving it because he's an actor and he's like just rolling with it, or is that too much?
No, I think we totally could get that. Like, I think she, like the first day on set, she's really nervous and she keeps thinking like she sees Big, but it's like shadows and plants and whatnot. And then maybe she's in her trailer in between takes. And like, we hear like, we hear her voiceover as she's watching like all the actresses like do a scene on the streets. And it's like, I thought it would be scary, but it was just like coming home, like a warm hug. And then we see her in her trailer. And maybe she's like punching, like someone asked her to like punch up the script. Like maybe she is like writing the script for the movie. Yeah. And that was the whole thing.
But maybe that's accidental. Like it could like Zoe's like cut. And the director's like, you can't yell cut. She's like, Carrie wouldn't say this. And then all of a sudden, like, and the director's like, I don't know. And then Carrie goes and then says the line that she would say. And Zoe goes, yes, yes. And then from then on, she's like punching up the script.
Yes. And this can be healing too, because now she gets to once again have control and write the story of her own life. And she realizes in this process that she's in charge. Yeah. And she's empowered again. So like someone comes to her, like the director and the screenwriter maybe come to her and they're like, we're going to be honest, like this, the studio, like this needs punch ups or this movie isn't going to happen, which could also be kind of like a meta nod to like the canceling of Sex and the City 3, where they're like, the studio called, they hate the dailies. And like, they say that it needs like a punch up, but we just don't have the budget to like, or some, they find some Hollywood reason and they're like, would you do this? And Carrie's like, I could take a stab at it. And then she goes into her trailer and she's like, writing, and we're getting like that magical dialogue.
And maybe there's a voiceover of always like, you know, I guess we always know we write our own lives, but now I'm really writing my own life, you know?
And there's a knock on the door of the trailer, and she's like, come in. And it's James Franco as Big. And he goes, hey, baby. And it literally, he sounds just like Big. And Carrie is fully like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then they have like an interaction that's kind of sexy, but she's also just like really freaked out.
It's sexually charged,
but it's also so wrong, but it's so wrong it's right. And then maybe like a PA comes in and they're like, Big, we need you on set like now. And so they lead him away, and then someone else comes in and they're like, I'm so sorry, we tried to stop James from like coming in, but he just does his own thing on set, like he's always
and maybe the PA goes, James, we need you on set, and he's like, damn it, I told you, call me Big.
Yeah. And then someone apologizes to Carrie, like, I'm so sorry if that was inappropriate, like we tried to keep him away and then he found a way in, but we'll keep him away from you for now on. I know it's like too soon. And she's like, it's okay. It's okay. And so we see her making like baby steps of acceptance and then also falling in love with the James Big Frank guy, which was a very unhealthy coping mechanism for young Miss Bradshaw.
Well, and I think there's like a weird scene. I don't know if it needs this, but like, there's a weird scene where it's like after filming and like Franco, like we have like a little, like we have a cameo by Seth Rogen, like Seth Rogen comes to set to see, you know, like after a set, and like Carrie goes up to him thinking he's going to be in character. And he's like, I'm James now, you know, like he messes with her head.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, James.
Yeah.
And James shakes her hand.
And she's like, okay. Yeah. And so it's like, ho, 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 ho.
Yeah. And maybe they ask her if she wants to like go out that night with them. They're like, we're going to go to hit this party. Like, do you guys want to come?
She goes and she like thinks James Franco is fucking lame when he's not in Mr. Big's character.
Yeah. And like, maybe they even like, we take it to a level where like Seth Rogen gives Carrie a joint and then they all like get high together. And it's like, we get like a lot of like fun stoner, like a little bit of stoner comedy antics.
Like, it's like, no, it's really, really fun. And you get a lot of like young Hollywood popping in at this party. And it's like, just like, it's like a nice cameo scene.
Yeah. And maybe, okay, maybe at this young Hollywood party, like, they're going to some sort of like premiere or party. Maybe, here's an idea. Maybe they're going to a party that's happening at like Tom Tom or Pump.
Yes.
And then that's an opportunity to like, for Carrie to like overhear something that like Lisa Vanderpump says about the car that crashed into Motherlode or something.
Yeah, like you also, and you get the sense that like when you see Lisa, she's more frazzled than you've ever seen her in her life. Mm-hmm. You know, like her empire is slowly slipping away, and maybe, you know, like Ken is like shuffling in the background, and like she's just yelling at him, like, you piece, you know, like
maybe
she's
Ken's dead, and that's why Lisa's gone crazy. And then we get like that foil with her and Carrie, where it's like they've both lost the loves of their life. And like, how do they deal with it? And maybe they have like a one-on-one over Rosé.
Can it be acknowledged that Ken and Jiggy are both dead and they share the same life force?
Yes. And they also share the same grave. They were buried together. They died at the same time. Okay. Wait,
are they at Hollywood Forever Cemetery? Or
yes. So yeah, Seth Rogen is like, we're going to dinner tonight at this place, Pump. Like, it's from the show, like, Vanderpump. And Carrie's like, oh, I've heard of it.
He's like, we're going to Pimp. You know, like, there isn't a Pimp. Oh, Pump.
Yeah. And so they all go to, like, go to this party at Pump. And then that's where Carrie sees Lisa. And that, and somehow I think they, like, I think they need to, like, interact. Or maybe they, like, I see there being a moment where Carrie and Lisa really have, like, a one-on-one conversation that gets super real. And they both, like, get on a level about what it's like to lose the love of your life. And then Carrie has a lot of empathy for Lisa. And they slowly kind of have a friendship, despite the fact that she now knows that Lisa drove this car into Samantha's restaurant. Which can all come to, like, a head at Samantha's 65th birthday party.
Because I also got to think, though, there might be like some kind of hint that like Lisa also is not ending there. Like, she, like, Carrie sees like buckets of like gasoline or something. Like, just like there's like she's putting it together that there's another thing about to potentially happen. You know,
she sees like a pile of matches and some and gasoline.
It's like, I've never seen that many matchbooks.
The gasoline in buckets with the word "for Motherlode" written on them.
Like, it's like ML, you know.
Yeah. And I think maybe, okay, yeah, so Carrie somehow,
the mother,
like,
the mother of the Motherlode's about to get the mother of all surprises.
Mm-hmm. So they're eating dinner, they like, and I think Samantha also, like, when she's leaving the hospital, she makes a statement after the doctor says, like, you might have to wait to have sex 1 to 2 years. And she's like, honey, no, my 65th birthday is in 5-6 weeks. Like, I will be fucking that night. And he's like, what? I know. Like, please don't do that. And
sure. You really could disattach your entire lower body from your upper body. It's if, like, you do that, you know?
Do you want to be paralyzed? Like, it's like true. And she's like, I will be doing it. So, like, we know then that she's going to have like a 65th birthday blowout. And so Carrie's at dinner. Wait.
Is there any possible way that the, like, just randomly that she ends up like pegging Jax on her 65th birthday? And she's like, I'm the number one guy in this group now. Like, is there any possible way? And like, I don't know. That's too far fetched, I guess. But it would be great if Samantha maybe can't get fucked, but can fuck.
Yeah, like, and she could also, like, be, like, she's stolen Tom Sandoval from Lisa, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe Jax also got stole fired and stole Nick Alain. Now, like, yeah, she stole Nick Alain to do her restaurant. And then maybe she's also, like, Jax got fired from Vanderpump Rules, and, like, so
It's a stretch to get him there, but like maybe, you know, like he says he does still, you know, quote unquote work there, you know, maybe it's, I don't know. It's a stretch. It's just something that popped in my mind. I would love to get him. I would love to get him fucked.
I would love, you know. I like, as much as I want that, I also don't want him to be in this movie. Like everyone else, I'm like kind of fine with, but I do love the Samantha finds out that she can't get fucked, but she can fuck is like a really powerful.
Yeah. I think that's like, that's a new generation. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Cause she then is just on her knees, like fucking, which is different from laying and taking a lot of pressure right to the groin in that area.
She's like, yeehaw, honey. And she's like,
she can stand up. She can even use her walker for assistance. Like there's a lot of things. She just cannot actually get penetrated, but she can do the penetration.
Yeah. She was like, oh, you know, I found a way around it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So like Carrie overhears. Maybe she realizes, like, she doesn't realize where she's going. Like, and then once she sees Lisa and she puts it all together, like, oh my God, I'm dining at Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant right now. Like, this is the woman that, like, tried to, like kill my best friend. And maybe for just to give service to the character, Charlotte has joined them for dinner. And like she's getting really stoned and like spouting off a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, you know Jeffrey Epstein's still alive. Yeah,
yeah. She's like, he didn't really die. Like, and like she's like talking about 5G and stuff. And like, it's a really fun like moment with like her and Seth Rogen. And so Carrie overhears Lisa talking and sees her, and so she goes to the bathroom. Like she hears Lisa basically admit that she, like, hired Peter to like run a Ferrari into the mother load. And so she goes to,
because Peter will do anything.
She goes to the bathroom to text Samantha and be like, you'll never guess where I am, blah blah blah. And then maybe Lisa's waiting in line for the restroom, and then Lisa's like, Carrie Bradshaw, I love your writing. Your books are fantastic. Your articles are so sexy. Please let me buy you a Cosmo. And so,
why do you no longer write anymore? And she, you know, and maybe that's how it's revealed that like her husband died, and then she's like, my husband died as well. You know, like that is that how it starts?
Yeah. So then we cut to like them sitting at the bar, and they're like having a drink, and then Lisa's like, my husband died. And then it cuts to like Jiggy and Kent. She's like, not only did I lose my husband, but I lost my precious Jiggy in 24 hours of each other.
Then did I she have Puffy together. With her?
Yeah, she still has Puffy, but like, it's not the same as Jiggy. Yeah. And so we get that moment, and she's like kind of humanized in that moment. Carrie's
you do feel for her. You're, you know, like she's not a complete,
she's like,
monster.
I've lost everything, and then my employees, as you know, my employee is probably, but she's like, keeps being like, as you know, and Carrie's like, I actually don't know, like I don't know who you are or anything, but like,
it's like 8 seasons go by in a blink, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like, and so we find out that like Lisa has lost Jiggy Ken, she's lost Sandoval, she fears that she's losing her restaurants and like her reign over West Hollywood.
Her empire, yeah.
Her empire is crumbling around her. And in that moment, Carrie has a lot of empathy. And she's like, well,
yeah.
But also Carrie can share her own journey, which is like, you think everything is crumbling, but it might be a chance to like rebuild and like rewrite your story. And she's like, oh, I'm rewriting my story, all right. And then I think she strikes a match and lights a cigarette. And Carrie's like, I don't know what that means, but I don't, but it seems nefarious at best.
And maybe she throws a wink as she does it, you know, like, yes, darling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think also Carrie gets Lisa, like, as they're getting drunk, care, like when she's in the bathroom and texting Samantha, Samantha's like, you need to get a recording of it. And so Carrie like puts her cell phone like out on the counter and basically gets an audio recording of Lisa saying, admitting that she had Peter drive a Ferrari into Motherlode.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But then Carrie also feels kind of bad because it's like, oh, did I just like entrap this woman that's clearly like struggling with a lot? Like Carrie has like a little bit of emotional conflict in that moment too. But then Lisa lights her cigarette and like winks, and then Carrie's like, no, I did the right thing. Like,
yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, great.
So Carrie texts that to Samantha, and then what?
I mean, do we see Lisa being taken away in cuffs at a scene? Like, I mean, we gotta, I mean,
I think we know, like, I think she has the audio recording, but then also it's in California, like illegal to record someone against their, without their consent. So maybe it like doesn't mean anything. So and Samantha tries to like, she sends it to Miranda and Miranda's like,
yeah, maybe that's
like, this could have been anything. Like, and also it's like not going to stand. Like it's not, there's, you have no legal grounds here. And like, I don't know what, I'm sorry to tell you,
but there's gotta be a way that Miranda could get involved where like, you know, there is a meeting between Lisa, Miranda, and Samantha where it is of like, you know, like we're completely on to you and we will, you know, like somewhere we will push, we will, you will face charges if you, like something where Lisa backs down, but she doesn't have to go to jail.
Maybe Samantha gets this text message and then of the recording and then like Carrie goes back to like sit with Charlotte, who now is like truly just talking about like she's like deep into
she's like Wuhan, yeah,
and like she's like the lab, it was created in the lab and released for China, and it's like truly like well, and then Seth Rogen's like, you're fucking wild, and like,
yeah, we gotta hang after this.
Yeah, that was a good rogue. But then Samantha texts back and she's like, invite Lisa to my birthday. And Carrie's like, are you sure? And Samantha's like, of course, it's my olive branch. And so, but Samantha has like tricks up her sleeve. So Carrie like is like, Samantha's birthday is actually like, she's throwing a big party. Like you should come and like bring a dog or two.
Is the party at Motherlode?
It could be.
Because there could be just a nice like tip of the hat of like,
they're rebuilding Motherlode to be bigger and better than ever after the crash. And it actually worked out great. And so,
yeah. And Sandoval goes, oh my God, there's a line down to TomTom instead of there's a line down to Motherlode, you know?
Yes. And so the grand reopening of Motherlode is also going to be Samantha's 65th birthday. Yeah. So she invites Lisa. And maybe even she just is doing it to be cunty and being like, oh, now Motherlode is four stories. You must come.
Yeah, and she says, like, I wish it was my 69th birthday. Yeah.
Maybe it is her 69th. And then we just like go. So then we cut to like, do we just get to like the big party? Like, are we now at Samantha's birthday party or where
well,
are we?
Well, we need to clear up. Well, okay. So Aiden, eventually, if he's coming over, he needs to appear. I mean, this
I forgot about Aiden. Yeah. So the party is like the huge climax.
It's the big one. Yeah. And like, so we need Aiden, that thing to wrap up. We need her feelings about Big, potentially to like her rebirth happens at this party or she's okay to love again after this party or something happens at this party where, you know, she realizes life does move on. Just like the big end scene.
Okay. So I think after following this dinner, Charlotte goes home and like logs online and starts like messaging with Teresa and she like Teresa Granola is like the screen name of this like fan of Charlotte's.
She's like, Seth Rogen was so nice in person, you know. Yeah.
And she's like, but people laughed at me when I was talking about 5G. And then Teresa's like, people will always laugh, like people are always gonna laugh at the truth, like blah blah blah. And then it's just like, God, Teresa, you're so kind. Like you're like the only person that truly understands me. And then Teresa's like,
us women have to stick together.
Us women have to stick together. And like, and Carrie, my friend Carrie is like, you know, she's a big writer and in Hollywood, and she had her whole thing, like her whole book and column going. But, and then like,
it was Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, how did you know? Like, that's one of my best friends. And she's like, I thought that you were like, when she talked about, wrote about Charlotte, like that was you, and like yeah. moving to Brentwood and stuff. Like, that's so cool that you're like, that you got to be like in this book. But don't you think like, I think that Teresa kind of like backdoors her way in by being like, don't you think she always painted you as like kind of just like a silly Billy, like, oh, that silly Charlotte.
Yeah. Like, you're so much different talking to you online, you know?
Yeah, like you came across really stupid in the books, like something like that. And then Charlotte's like, I did, like, that's so true and mean of her.
I'm just like, no. And then it was, then it's like, well, when are you guys all going to be together the next time? And then she's like, oh, our friend Samantha is having her 69th birthday, you know, like.
Yeah. Like, and then she's like, wow, or maybe Teresa's like, I'm coming to LA like next week. Like, do you think that we could get together for like a matcha? And then Charlotte's like, actually, like, I'm pretty busy, but you should come to my friend Samantha's like having a big party for her bar. Like, you should come to that. And then Teresa's like, amazing. I'll see you there, girl. And then it cuts to like a dark room and a dark screen. And you just see Aiden like it's Teresa's screen being like, see you there, girl, like with a wink. And then it goes and it's just Aiden's face.
And then you see a fly first, like a fly.
Yeah, a fly lands on the computer screen and crawls around.
I know, a fly calls around and then he smacks the screen and kills the fly.
Yes.
And then it pulls back and you see it's Aiden.
It's Aiden, and he's in a room that's covered with like Carrie Bradshaw, like newspaper clippings and like photos, and then it says like, kill Carrie Bradshaw, like written in blood, like, and it's like totally like he is patient zero of psychosis.
Yeah, maybe even says like, fuck Mary kill, but it's like each one is like Carrie,
yes,
you know,
fuck Carrie kill.
Yes. None of it makes sense.
Then you seem like buying a plane ticket to LA on like Kayak, like in that moment. need some product placement.
Wait, you see him like bartering for prices? No, yeah. No, too expensive. And then it's like, oh, this one will accept any offer if you put it in. And then it's
Hot
like, accept
wire,
it.
Yeah. He's like, Expedia? Like, if we get like a deal going with Expedia, they got to make nice after COVID, after they just like fucked everyone over, didn't give anyone refunds. Yeah.
You keep seeing him like shake off prices, like, no.
Yeah.
No.
And this is like, the one like overt SponCon moment of the movie. So now we see that Teresa Granola is really just Aiden in disguise catfishing, and that Aiden's about to go to LA and like try and kill Carrie. And then we cut to the party in that moment.
I think we just gotta get there. Yeah.
And it's a huge, so there's all four levels of Motherlode are like packed. There's a line down the street. Tom Sandoval makes his cameo and he's like, there's a line all the way to Tom Tom. And then like, I think we even
see, wouldn't it be crazy if Lance Bass is there?
Lance Bass is all over there.
Samantha. Like not like you're like, she is like the new Lisa Vanderpump. So Lance Bass is like up her ass. You have like, who's the haircut guy on all the billboards? Chaz Dean
is there. Yeah. You see Stanford. Like, and Anthony, they've flown in from New York because we haven't seen them. Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah.
And then I think Steve is there and he's go-go dancing. And then we're like, is that
Steve? He's like, not bad for a guy with one ball, huh?
It kind of pans up and it's like,
you're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, who's this guy? And then you see it's Steve, and then everyone's like, oh my god, like it kind of cuts through the crowd and all the girls are standing like sipping their drinks looking flawless, and then they look over And Samantha's like, I think you're really going to like this go-go dancer I hired. And then we cut to it and it pans up and it's Steve. And then they scream. They're like, is that Steve? And Miranda's like,
Yeah,
he had to do something. He really wanted to dance.
And he winks at Miranda and Miranda winks back.
She goes, dances up to him and puts like a dollar bill in his like jock strap. And then he kind of dances. He turns around. We see his like ass. Like it's a real moment for that actor to like cement his
body. Yeah, really.
Because I do think that everyone has come away and with time after Sex and the City has realized that Steve truly is just so hot. And so it's a moment to honor that.
Yeah. Like he's like, that's how we started. And he's like he's a good hot guy that like is always stayed by Miranda, but he's still a sex object.
Yeah. And so, and then also because of Carrie's movie connections and Hollywood connections, all the stars of her movie are also at Motherlode. So we see like, we get all those cameos and some interaction with them. And then I think Carrie, maybe James Franco comes in and he's like, hey, you want to have a smoke out back? And she's like, sure. And so they go out back and they're like smoking a cigarette together. And they just have a moment where he's like, I know I can be like intense on set. And like, I just like you. And I don't know how to act. I'm James Franco. I don't know. I'm like,
you really went to the heart of James. I am going to act. I'm James Franco. Well, what if it's something where she realizes, you know, like, but she's like, turns out I didn't like James Franco, and like she rejects him. And then, but then all of a sudden she like smells like a cigar and she turns around and like Big comes out of the alley and like, that's the force ghost of like, hey babe, how you doing? You know?
Yes.
And like, that's the scene and instead of the Sur alley, it's the Motherlode alley, you know, they have this kind of like really sweet small scene of like, he's like, you got to get it back in there, babe. You know, like you got to get back in there and live your life.
Cause that can be like, a conversation that kind of comes up in the movie too, like between Carrie and Samantha, like, wow, like there should be a scene where Samantha's getting her physical therapy and Carrie's sitting there like talking to her by the pool. And she's like, do I like James Franco? Like, is this,
exactly.
Like, is this the one? Is this like how, and then they can have that back and forth. So then,
totally.
And I think they even kiss at one point, like maybe after that night.
100%.
They've kissed. It's kind of like, what? And then at the Motherlode party, they go and smoke. And then she's just like, what was I thinking? Like, no. Yeah. And then Big's kind of ghost spirit comes out and he's like, kind of brushes her hair back behind her ear. And he's like, you look good, kid. You look real good. She's like, I miss you so much. And then they have this like really sweet moment,
and then he says something, he's like, I'm always here, babe. I'm always here for you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's heartbreaking. That's gonna be a really good scene.
It really is. Like, that's where everybody cries, but then we go back in and it's like this kind of, I think that does happen, but we go back in and all of a sudden it's like Carrie, and she turns around to think she sees Big, and it's Aiden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it's like, and then she almost thinks again, like, am I delirious? Like, I just had a like talk with Big, who's dead, and like, is that really Aiden? You know, or something? You know?
Yeah, and it's like, maybe Aiden's out in the alley.
Yeah, that's
what I would... Did he get into Motherlode or is he in the alley?
No, I was thinking he was in the alley because, like, I mean, he could have been in
an alley guy. Yeah,
he's coming out of Motherlode into the alley. You know,
mm-hmm. He calls to her from a trash can in the alley. He's literally hiding in the dumpster.
Hey, Carrie.
Carrie, get over here! And she's like, "What?"
Coming from the trash. Yeah.
And maybe she sees him like getting crawling out of the dumpster and she screams.
Oh my god, wait.
Okay, so yeah,
wait,
yeah.
Wait. Because I was thinking, what if they're having this huge conversation and then all of a sudden a huge fireball hits that trash can that he's in and Lisa Vanderpump had tried to set fire to the place, and she ends up setting fire to Aiden in the trash
can. Killing him. Yeah. Okay. So
killing
Aiden,
him. He's just like, oh, he's like running through the alleyway. Oh, he's like,
Aiden
flame.
Comes out. Yeah. He pulls, he rises up out of the trash can with a gun, and he's like, yeah. And then he has Carrie like at gunpoint, and he's like, don't move, Carrie Bradshaw. And then she's like, how did you get here? And then he basically is like, I find a way. I always find a way. He's like, you ready to lose it all or something like that? And all of a sudden there's an explosion and the trash explodes. And then we get him, the fiery run. That's a great yes. special effect.
down West Hollywood, just like a flame. And then you see like the two gay Mary guys. He goes, that guy's flaming, you know?
Maybe though Aiden runs, like, maybe you hear Lisa go like, oh fuck, and you realize that she, like, the fire didn't hit the right place. And then yeah. as Aiden's flaming and running and screaming, instead of running into Motherlode, he runs into Pump, and he lights Pump on fire, and Pump burns down.
And then like the cops pull up and go, that's the most action that place has gotten in a while.
Yeah. And then Pump is like fully ablaze, like burning to the ground. And Lisa is like, is she crying or is she cackling and with joy? Because like, this just means more insurance money.
I think it's joy.
Yeah.
I think it's because she's like, I didn't start this. That man did that maybe, ran in.
Yeah. Maybe she's like, laughing and like she's not bothered, but everyone in Motherlode, like, obviously, like, the fire engines are coming, so people have run out to the streets to like see what's going on. And you see Lisa, like, Lisa's finally lost it, like, in this moment. It's like the switch turned over, and now she's fully in, like, she's gone crazy, like, she's crossed the line, and she's laughing, and she's like,
it's full walk. It's Joaquin Phoenix at the end of Joker.
Yeah, she is fully jokered. And she's like, I didn't. She's like kind of jumping and like clicking her heels together. She climbs onto a car and is just like.
And she's reapplying her lipstick. Yeah, she smears
her lipstick up into a smile. And she's like, chaos, darling. Do you love it? And like, and like all these gays are like pouring out into the streets. And they're just, and they're kind of hot and like. In like tank tops and stuff, and she's like, it's slow-mo with like fireballs kind of behind her as she kicks her legs up. And then I have full chills, like, I'm dying to actually see this, like, gorgeous, it really dark would be, ending. Like, it
would be a beautiful, like, scene. Like, if you filmed it right, it would be beautiful. Yeah,
it'd be beautiful. And then she basically, like, we kind of, after this, like, slow-mo, like, Lisa's Joker, she's, like, laughing. She's like, I didn't even start this fire, but here we go, watching it all burn. And then Miranda's like, you may not have started this fire, but we know that you've started many. And then, like, has, like, all this footage and documentation of, like, all the other arson Lisa's committed.
Then in that moment...
The cops come and they're like, ma'am, we're placing you under arrest, like, for.
But wouldn't it be great if you find out it's arson? Like, it's arson for her own restaurants, but also she's like, I don't know if you could do like a quick flashback, but it's like, she's been setting like fires her whole life, like in trash can. Like, she just is like, it affects her business, but she also just loves fire.
Yeah. So they're like, ma'am, you're under arrest for like conspiracy to commit arson and like arson, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes down the line. And then we do get the flashback to like young Lisa, like baby Lisa is like a 3-year-old, like lighting a match and dropping it into like a toy bin and like
surrounded by dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the flames glowing on her face. And then we realize like this woman's been crazy the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then, like, even if that happens, but then I think it needs to be taken away as, like, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, Lady Gaga's playing or something, you know, and all of a sudden we're back into, like, we need, like, a big, like, showstopper number of, like, all the girls meeting back up to watch some performer, whether it be Lady Gaga.
It's Gaga, for sure. It's for sure Gaga. Yeah. Like, they put the fire out. It's not the kind of fire where, like, everyone has to leave Motherlode to, like, because Motherlode is... Yeah, the motherlode can just keep going. Like, they put the fire out. Lisa's been taken away in a cop car screaming. And then Samantha's like, she does her great, like, redirect where she's like, everyone inside, there's a special performance just yeah. for you. And then Lady Gaga is dressed in, like, a full Marilyn Monroe, like, a modern, like, Marilyn Monroe kind of naked dress. And she sings, like, a breathy happy birthday to Lisa, or not to Lisa, to Samantha.
To Samantha, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, but then kicks into, like, you know, like, but now are you ready to dance? And then, like, kicks into, like, let's dance, like, that dance song she does. That one dance song she does. And then, then all the girls are, like, smiling and stuff like that, except, like, they're like, where did Samantha go? And then it cuts up to like three stories into her office and she's fucking Edie.
Yeah. And maybe.
or some guy. Or like,
we forgot about Edie's makeover.
Like, Edie. Like, I don't know. There's something. Edie's got to be brought back in.
Yeah. We have to. I think it's at the beginning of the party. We see Steve dancing and she's like, and then the crowd parts and then we see Edie like stomping through the crowd looking ferocious.
Oh like Sandy at the end of Grease. Like, tell me about yes. it. Yeah.
And then Samantha's like, I did a little work with Edie one-on-one. Like, I got physical therapy and she got physical. And like some kind of nod to Olivia Newton-John. So then Edie's just like hot. I think Gaga gives Samantha, she's like, maybe Gaga in her like birthday, Samantha Jones, happy birthday song. She's like, I heard you can't fuck, but that doesn't mean you can't fuck, and drops like a dildo, like a strap on into Samantha's lap. And it kind of is like ding, ding, ding to Samantha. And then we see her like later, the camera pans up and she's just like fucking like a hot, she's like pegging like a hot dude.
Wouldn't it be amazing though if the camera though like starts on her so it looks like she's on her back and she's like and then the camera like reverses where it sees like she's the one fucking, but at first you think she's getting fucked on her back and then you realize she like the camera does this really cool move where then you realize she's like standing up fucking this dude, you know?
Beautiful, beautiful camera work. I love it. So artistic. And I'm going to add to that that the person she's fucking is her hot doctor. Who told her that she couldn't fuck. The doctor shows up to wish her a happy birthday. He's like, happy birthday to my favorite patient. Like, I hope it's not I know that you're not getting everything you want for your birthday, but I hope that you have a good one. And she's like, never say never. And then like later you see that she's pegging him. And it truly is like a full circle moment. And then Carrie is dancing with her girls.
Yeah.
And like you... And then you have like a voiceover as they're dancing to like Stupid Love. Carrie's like, I may not have found love immediately, but I did find the love that was always there. And that's the love of my friends.
And then is there any play? And then like you hear this last like Carrie and she turns around and it's Burger and then it ends.
I love just a cliffhanger.
Just something to like Sex and the City for potentially like where would it go, you know?
Yeah, and then like the Sex and the City song, we have Gaga record like a final Sex and the City song that's like kind of like a Stupid Love or Sex and the City mashup.
Yeah, exactly.
To end the movie, and it's like we go fade into like the beautiful glittering lights of Hollywood, and outside of Motherlode, the like spotlights are going off into the sky, and we kind of go, and it's like the end.
That would be cool though if you do like you do that drone from Motherlode and then it goes and it just like pans right into the Hollywood sign and then that's it, you know?
Yeah. I love it.
Be making. Yeah. Wow. God,
beautiful.
Very cool.
What do we call this? What do we call this movie? Sex and the City 3.
I mean, like, Hooray for Hollywood, Gone Hollywood,
Sex and the City 3, the mother of all loads.
I don't know if we could get it past censors. I don't know if they would even
it's beautiful.
Oh my god, wow, that's really fascinating how it actually we actually made a movie.
We wrapped it up. Yeah, we made a movie. It's all there. It's all there.
We wrapped it up. Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, people are going to like do. People are going to do touches on it. Sure. You know, like it's not. This isn't Bible.
Perfectly polished, but we had to go back, like backtrack a couple times and fill in the blanks. But like, hey, I'm in. I'd watch the hell out of this movie.
I had this one thought originally where Big died by the movie started and it was like a guy and it was The Sopranos. A guy was dealing with like, you better give me the fucking money now, you know? And he's like, I know a guy. Trust me. Don't break my legs. And then it's Big's driver that drives him everywhere. And give me all the money you have. He's like, Randy, what are you doing? Like, I don't carry money with me. And then all of a sudden he hears a siren and like, his gun goes off and that's how Big died. And it was just like a tangent, like The Sopranos really weren't even in it. Just that first scene, just as like an homage for you. But like it, you know, like it's funny how obsessed I've been with these ladies the last couple of days.
I love it. Yeah. You gave good storylines and I think I speak for all the listeners when like this movie gets an A+ from me. I'm seeing it. I'm loving it.
No, thank you so much. This has like actually been the best thing to take my mind off quarantine. So thank you. You should let everybody in quarantine do something like this.
Hey, my pleasure. I look forward to doing more episodes and I'm glad that we're bringing Sex and the City 3 to life.
It really is something that you could, because didn't you just go back and rewatch recently?
I've been rewatching, like when I got to like a pretty deep depression mode during quarantine is when I watched like, you know, 10 episodes of Sex and the City just to like feel safe again. And it really helped a lot. Like it just is a show that I can always go back to. And even the movies I like too, but like you just don't get better than that show.
And it was so, elements of it was so cheesy that it made me really happy momentarily, you know?
It's just like a warm hug and like pure joy to be with these women and be in their world.
Kim Cattrall, I hope she comes out of this quarantine like reconsidering things.
I hope that they really take time to ask themselves and question what the important things in life are and realize that the fans need them now more than ever. And I hope that they can put the petty beef aside and just like get over it. But yeah, I guess it is probably up to Kim the most.
Yeah, it seems like she's the one. And I don't feel like you can kill Kim off, you know?
No, I mean, I was like always entertaining the idea of like who would be like who could replace her if they just wanted to like, but I mean, it's not going to be the same. But also it's like she's burned so many bridges. I don't know if we could ever go back at this point because she said so much shit. But then also it's like we're in unprecedented times. I feel like COVID gives people like you can get a COVID pass.
It's like, well, that's what I was watching the old movies, and anytime they had like a friendship scene, I would be wondering like, oh my god, I wonder if she fucking hates Sarah Jessica Parker's guts in this scene and she's like really acting, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe if the rumors are true and they were beefing that hard, like they both are really amazing actresses because they sold their friendship. Like I was buying it.
Like, do you think Matthew Broderick hears about Kim Cattrall issues from Sarah Jessica Parker?
I don't know. It's like, it's hard to say who has more of a problem with whom. Like, do you think, like, it might have just been the way that people spin it seems like maybe it was just like Kim was having the big problems, but it kind of takes two to tango. So,
but remember when Kim's brother died and didn't Sarah Jessica Parker reach out and Kim was like, I don't need that. Like, wasn't it like she like was snotty back?
She was like, how dare you?
That's like, that's pretty intense.
Yeah. So we'll see. Wow. I hope that COVID heals their broken bonds and that
COVID heals all.
Yeah. If we don't get Sex and the City 3 post COVID, I'm in a riot. I'm taking to the streets.
Yeah. West Hollywood really will burn.
I'll see you at the fucking protest. Tell everyone where they can find you because you have a podcast of your own.
Yes. So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Laura's been on a bunch that's long. There are timestamps, it's reality shows, pop culture. I just started a Patreon where I'm covering NYC prep. I think Lara is going to come on that at some point to do an episode. Yeah. And yeah, so yeah, just at So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey on Instagram, at Ryan Bailey 25 on Twitter, and check it out and give it a chance if you want a couple laughs. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for making Thank movie you. Magic with me.
This was awesome. I really appreciate it.
And until next time, stay sexy.